Now, and turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 8. Exodus, chapter 8. I mentioned this morning about Judgment House, and it is no laughing matter that Satan is alive and well and busy and active, deceiving, destroying. And we're going to see a picture of him tonight from the Old Testament. We're turning to the book of Exodus, and Exodus, of course, tells us how God delivered his people, Israel, from Egypt out of bondage. They had been in bondage for hundreds of years, and God miraculously delivered them, set them free, and what a story it is. Exodus is a book of history. It actually happened, but it's also full of pictures. It's full of illustrations. So that not only do we read the historical account, but we can see in the story a picture of various things. For example, Egypt. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of the world system, and its corruption. And then Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a picture of Satan, as we're going to see. And then we see Moses and the people of Israel and how they resist Pharaoh and by God's grace and by God's power overcome Pharaoh. And they are a picture of those who were once in bondage and then set free. And that's a picture of us, isn't it? And we learn from Moses and his dealing with Pharaoh on behalf of the people of Israel, that is Moses. We learn how to resist Pharaoh's compromises, Satan's compromises. And so that is the message tonight. Very simply and very practically, this subject. Resisting Satan's compromises. Let's begin to look in Exodus chapter 8, verse 20. This is right in the middle of the plagues. You're familiar with those 10 plagues. And this is one of those plagues we're reading about, verse 20 of chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so. There came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will not let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. We've read through verse 28. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, our hearts have been blessed tonight. Thank you so much for this beautiful music, meaningful messages in song. Thank you again for reminding us, Lord, of your work in our heart and how you bring us to that rest of our soul. You tell us, Lord, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Lord, we're so thankful that we accepted your gracious invitation. It was only because, Lord, that your Spirit drew us, softened our heart, and showed us our need. And we've entered into that rest. And we pray that that can be said of everyone here tonight before we leave. Should there be anyone, Lord, that is not yet saved and does not have rest in their soul, anyone, Father, that cannot say down deep in their heart, it is well with my soul, we pray they will be able to say that and know that from the heart before they leave here tonight. Thank you once again for these who are gifted in music, who sing so well and play so well. And thank you now for your word, and we ask that you will speak to us from its pages tonight. Plant in our hearts the message that is so needed and how we need to make no compromise with the devil and with the world. And it'll be by your grace for that to happen. So help us tonight. Strengthen us for that battle. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we resist Satan's compromises? Well, as we've said, Pharaoh here is a picture of Satan. And what a picture he is. I would just have you to notice several things by way of introduction, just thinking about this awful man. And as we learned tonight, as God would have it, there was just a brief mention of this period of time in the Egyptian history and their kingdom. And this is the height of Egyptian power. So when we read of Pharaoh and this period of time when the plagues happened, this was when Egypt and Pharaoh is a title, by the way, not an individual name. This was when their national leader was at the peak of his power and the nation was its strongest. So we see a picture here of a tyrant, and we of course know that Satan is such a one. Notice Pharaoh's strength. Now, we have not read a particular verse here, but we know the fact is that Israel was held captive for over 400 years. And that was not by choice, that was by might. That was by the might of Egypt and the might of Pharaoh. He had a vice grip on God's people for over 400 years. Think of that. That's a lot longer than we have been a nation, the United States of America. So we see his strength. And then we see Pharaoh's stubbornness. He hardened his heart. And as it tells us in Proverbs, he paid a price for that. Proverbs 29:1 is a good verse to remember for all that would follow in the steps of Pharaoh. Even the devil himself understands this verse in the wrong way. It says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So we see his strength, we see his stubbornness, and we see Pharaoh's stupidity. We really do. He thinks that he has the upper hand. He thinks that he is the mighty monarch, and he was. But here's where he is so foolish. In chapters 5 through 10 of the book of Exodus, some seven times Moses approaches Pharaoh with these words, or something similar to this, "Let my people go." And you know what Pharaoh's response was? He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" How foolish. How stupid. When you say that, amen? And so he was a strong man, stubborn man, but he was also a very foolish and very stupid man. Now God gave a command through Moses to this man named Pharaoh in verse 20, and here was the basic command near the end of verse 20. Look at it again. "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me." That was God's design. That was God's will. No ifs, no ands, no buts. They're coming out. They're coming out to serve me. What a statement that is about God in his intention of salvation. That's why he saves us. He saves us that we might serve him. You know, the thought occurred to me the other night as I went through the judgment house. I had not been through it before. But I realized when I got to heaven, and I couldn't hardly see the scene for tears coursing down my cheeks. And I got to thinking, why is it that the Lord doesn't just take us right on to heaven the moment we're saved? We're as fit for heaven as we're ever going to be. Amen? We have our righteous standing, not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. We're faultless to stand before the throne. And we're that way from the moment we receive him. But the answer is very simple. We're here to serve. We're ready to go to heaven, but he's not ready for us to go to heaven. We are saved to serve. So this is the basic command, let my people go that they may serve me. And with that, Pharaoh, who's a picture, I say, of the devil, he begins this series of compromises, little by little. I want us to follow these. First of all, Satan wants you and me to compromise on salvation. He wants us to compromise on salvation. Now, these are subtle compromises, as we learn from the judgment house, as we know from experience, as we know from the Word of God. He's a deceiver, isn't he? And one of his ways of deception is subtle little compromises, things that seem like, well, that's not really that big of a deal. Oh, but it is a big deal when it comes to the will of God. Look again at verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, here's the compromise, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Now, that's not what God had said. God said, come out and make a clean break. But now Pharaoh says, all right, you can be religious. This is basically the compromise. Go ahead with your religion. Serve your God, do your thing, but do it here. Do it in Egypt. Remember, Egypt is a picture of the world. So this is a compromise in the matter of salvation. This is what God had said to Moses earlier, back in chapter 3, verse 18. They shall hearken to thy voice. Thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. Ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And so this was God's intention, to bring them out, 3 days' journey into the wilderness. That is a clean break from Egypt. And Moses would not compromise on that matter. In fact, we find right here in verses 26, let's read it again, 26 and 27. Moses said, it is not meet, that it's not fit. It's not right so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. So there was no compromising. We'll do what God requires, nothing else and nothing less. This is where the devil wants us to compromise, first of all, and that is in the area of our salvation. He says, go ahead if you want to, get religious, that's fine. You know, the devil doesn't mind religion. The devil backs religion. The devil loves religion. He uses religion. It's one of his greatest tools. And so this was the compromise. Just get religious, but stay here, settle down. And we need to remember also, before we move to the next thing, it was a religious crowd that killed Jesus. Do you remember that? Religion is a bad thing. Salvation is the good thing. Salvation is the blessing. So don't go out of the land. Compromise on salvation. Then the second compromise is here in verse 28. And that is, Satan wants you to compromise in the area of sanctification. Look at this, verse 28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away, entreat for me. Okay, he says, well, if you must go, then go, but don't go far. Don't go 3 days' journey. And so the devil is very clever. This title of the judgment house is very powerful. You know, it's called chained, and how through God's power we are unchained, we are set free. And the devil is all about bondage, isn't he? He's all about chaining us. And the devil doesn't care if he holds you with a short chain or a long chain. Remember that. He just wants you to be chained. He will, if you insist, you're saved. Well, go ahead if you must leave Egypt, but don't go far from Egypt. In other words, the application for us is live as close to your old life as possible. If you must be a Christian, go ahead, but don't ruin your life. Don't cut ties with your old friends and old habits. If you're going to trust Jesus, don't go too far. Don't go to extremes. Don't be a fanatic. Just be a borderline Christian. That's a compromise. That's a temptation all the time, isn't it? And yet God wants us to be different and separated and, as the Bible word is, sanctified, made holy, made different, coming apart from the world. Exodus 11, verse 7, the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, said, you often hear the expression, a worldly Christian. Billy Sunday said, you might as well talk of a heavenly devil as a worldly Christian. And yet we use that all the time, a carnal Christian or a worldly Christian. Satan wants us to believe it's all right to be a Christian. Just don't be a radical Christian. You know, we hear a lot about radical Islam, don't we? And that's a bad thing. We hear that it's a bad thing. But we don't hear anything about radical Christianity. What does it mean, radical, anyway? That doesn't mean militant. You know what the word radical means? It means getting back to the root of something. Getting back to the source of something. Getting back to what something's intended to be. So radical Islam is those Muslims getting back to the root of what their book teaches, the Quran. They really take it seriously. Well, what we ought to be are radical Christian. Getting back to the book and what God intended for us, and that is to come out unto Him, come out from the world, as Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 15 and 16. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, that is physically, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So the first compromise is He wants to us to compromise on salvation. The second compromise is a compromise on our sanctification. Saved but not separated. Then there's a third compromise, and it's found in chapter 10, if you want to go there. Let's look at chapter 10 and verse 8, a few verses. Beginning in chapter 10 and verse 8, we're reading now. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? Now the question comes up, who's leaving? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, he says in verse 11, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So here's another compromise, and that is Satan wants you to compromise on strong families, strong family ties. This time Pharaoh seems like he's getting softer, seems like he's opened to letting the people go, but before he lets them go, he asks the question, who's going with you? And then Moses' answer is, we're going together. We're going together as families, husbands, wives, children. We're all going. And just like some of you guys, you watch the ESPN pregame on Saturdays, like Lee Corso, Pharaoh says, not so fast, my friend. There's no football fans in the house tonight. Am I the only one that watches? Not so fast, he says. You're not going, because he knows that as long as he can keep the women and the children there, that he'll eventually get the men back. He says, you men, you can go, but not the women and not the children. So what's this a picture of? It's a clear picture, isn't it? Satan knows if he can keep families divided. Oh, how devious he is, how clever, how cunning he is. If he can keep families divided, he can keep everything disrupted and keep people from truly serving the Lord as God wants us to serve Him. Just think about what we've seen in the Bible already. If you read beginning there, starting in Genesis, can you imagine, for example, Noah? How Noah would have felt with part of his family on board the ark and part of them not. What a tragedy that would be. That wasn't God's plan, was it? It was for Noah, Mrs. Noah, and Shem and Ham and Japheth, his three sons, and their wives, all as a family, to get on board that boat. Then we read about Abraham and how God was pleased with Abraham. And here's what he said about Abraham. He said, "For I know Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." We learn later on when Joshua comes into leadership that God was pleased. We have the record when Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And this is what God wants. But what the devil wants is he wants friction. He wants division. He wants families to be separated. We need more wives and more mothers. For example, like Catherine Booth. She was the wife of William Booth, founder of the Foundation Army, founder of the Salvation Army. And she cried out in prayer. It's recorded. She would pray like this: "Oh Lord, I will not stand before you without all my children." That's a godly woman, isn't it? Who's unwilling to make a compromise with her family. What a difference it would make if every Christian would say, "I'm coming out of Egypt. I'm coming out of the world. I'm coming out not only for myself, but I'm bringing my family, my loved ones." As somebody said, the only possessions we can take with us to heaven are our children. And I'd like to add our grandchildren, amen? And we ought to go together. There's one last compromise. We've got a little time, just very little. But I want you to go to chapter 10 and look with me quickly at verse 24. Exodus 10, verse 24. "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, 'Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you.'" Now he's willing to let the children go, but not the flocks and the herds. Now verse 25, "And Moses said, 'Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind." I love that. "There shall not be a hoof left behind. For thereof we must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, 'Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die.' And Moses said, 'Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more.'" First of all, we see the devil wants us to compromise with our salvation. If he can't get us to do that, he wants us to compromise on our sanctification. If he can't do that, he wants us to sacrifice or compromise in the area of strong families, families together serving the Lord. Here's one last area. If he can't succeed in any of those, he'll get us to compromise in the area of our stewardship, our resources. He said, "All right, if you must go, then go ahead. Men can go, women can go, even children can go, but leave your livestock here." Very clever, very cunning, isn't it? Because he knew where their treasure was, there would their heart be also. Seemed like we've read that in the Bible. It's true, isn't it? As long as their resources were there in Egypt, they wouldn't go very far. They would be back in Egypt. They would be back under his control. And as we saw, Moses would have none of it. Moses said, "Not a hide, not a hair, not a hoof is going to stay here, because we don't know what we will need until we get there." So we're all going, all of us, and everything we have is going. If the Lord wants it, he can have it. And there's no compromise to be made. The Lord wants us to use our resources unto him. We call it stewardship. And for good reason, because that's what we are. We're stewards. We're managers. We're not owners. He's the owner. We're the steward, right? And we have to manage and use what we have for his sake as he bids us. We can't compromise with the world and with the devil on our resources. And what are our main resources? Our main resources are our time, our talents, and our treasures, our money, our material possessions. Time. And I say that first because I think that is first. We don't have so much time. We have certain talents, certain abilities God has entrusted to us. And if we don't give those to God and act as a faithful steward, then we've missed the whole point. And then treasure it goes without saying that that belongs to the Lord too. So the devil wants us to compromise, so that will ultimately keep him in control. You see, he wants control of our soul, right? If he can't have control of our soul, he wants control of our thoughts and our habits. If he can't have that, he wants control of our loved ones. If he can't have that, he wants control of our money and our possessions. The only sure way to resist Satan's compromises and to be in victory, live in victory, is to say, I'm going all out. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be sanctified. My family, my possessions, it all belongs to him. Here's what the Lord said. Jesus said it this way. No man, that means no person, can serve two masters. Amen? And that is what we must decide. Are we going to serve the Lord as our master or not? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we see these compromises. We know they happen all the time. Every day we're confronted. And even tonight, it will be decision time as to what we're going to do with our lives, with our families, with our resources, our very soul. For some, it could be at stake here tonight. May we resist any compromise in any area. And may the message tonight and our time together in worship, Lord, settle in our hearts that we are yours. We belong to you. You want us set free from the devil and from the world. We belong to you, and we are to serve you, and we are to come out from under the power of the world and of the devil. And so, Lord, we want to yield our hearts and all that we are and all that we have unto you. Help now those who need to make public decisions to come as we have this invitation time. And may it all be for your glory and for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.